I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter in the New Testament, chapter 5, and then most of our time tonight is going to be spent in Ezekiel 28, but let's go to 1 Peter 5 first, 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. I want to look at that together. 1 Peter 5, 8. All right, look at it with me. It says, be sober, and then it says, be vigilant. All right, why? Why should I be sober? Be vigilant. Well, it says, notice, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Did you know that the name Satan actually means adversary? We see that word adversary there in that verse, and that's exactly what the word Satan means. It means adversary. It carries the idea of someone who conducts himself as an opponent or a hindrance to you by determining to stand in your way and challenge you. I looked up adversary in Webster's, and it said, one that contends with, opposes, or resists. And that's what Satan is all about. He is the determined adversary of God. He is an opponent of what God is doing. He's committed and to challenging God and challenging God's purpose. Satan is more than just the enemy of God. You can have an enemy that may leave you alone, but not so with an adversary. Wade, let me have you help me real quick. This is Wade, and you guys know him. And Wade may be, just stop right there a second. Wade may be an enemy of me going through that door. That is, he's just got something against me going through that door. And he's an enemy of that, and he doesn't want me to do that, and he's angry about it if I go through that door, and he's just the enemy of that. Well, the difference between that and adversary is this, okay, is that an adversary is someone who stands in your way and challenges you. He may have been an enemy of me going through that door, but guess what? I go to go through it. And now, boy, it's a good thing you're bigger than me. Or I'd have to get tough. No. But now do you see the difference? He's an adversary. He's actually opposing me. He's contending with me. He's standing in my way. Now listen, Satan is more than just the enemy of God. He's the adversary of God. That is, he is proactively opposing what God wants to do. He's opposing God's purpose and God's plan. He's openly challenging God. Thanks, Wade. Thank you so much. I was thinking about this, how an adversary actively pursues a course of enmity and opposition to you. And what came to my mind when I thought about adversary and how this an adversary is a determined, proactive foe, I thought of Osama bin Laden. And I thought of him, and I thought, you know, he was our enemy for years. He hated us. He hated America. He couldn't stand us. And he was our enemy for years, but he became our adversary on 9/11, didn't he? He became our adversary. An adversary is someone who has formulated a plan of antagonism against you to gain whatever it is that he's wanting. So it is with the adversary of God, Satan. He has a definite plan of evil. Like I said last week, Satan isn't just kind of roaming around, just trying to, breaking your car down or, causing your faucet to leak or, causing you to get an ingrown toenail, all right? That's not what Satan's doing. Satan has a well-devised plan of evil that he is opposing God. Just like Osama bin Laden had a plan of evil. I mean, he had an intricate plan of evil. And when he flew those planes into those buildings and into the Pentagon and all that, he became an adversary. Because we realize this guy is more than just the enemy of the United States. He's our adversary. He's got a definite plan of evil, and that's Satan. Remember, the name Satan means adversary. Now, we're never going to understand the specific wiles and devices of Satan until we first understand his overall plan and objective. And in order to understand that, we have to go back and we have to examine Satan in his original creation. You see, Satan in his original creation, it appears that, from Isaiah, that his original name was Lucifer. The name Lucifer, if you look it up, it means light bearer or bright one, shining one, morning star. That's interesting, isn't it, right there? That in his original creation, he was not the evil creature that we know now and that we think of, but rather he was created as a light bearer, a bright one, a shining one, the morning star. He was created as this bright light, you know, that would come from him. And I thought immediately, I thought of 2 Corinthians, where Paul said that Satan appears as an angel of what? Light. It's very easy for him to masquerade that way because that's exactly what he was created in his original creation, is he was an angel of light. The Bible says that when he comes and deceives as an angel of light. That's how he was created. In fact, I want you to run back to Ezekiel, and we're going to spend the rest of our time there. We're really not going to be turning, I don't believe, from this passage, Ezekiel 28. So I hope you'll find it. And it's in the Old Testament, the prophet Ezekiel. There's a passage here tucked away in this prophetic book that is quite remarkable. And I want you to notice here that there is a description that is going to be given of Satan in this passage, in his original creation. And we're going to explain in just a moment about that. But first of all, just look at verse 14. Notice it says, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth." That's how Satan is described when he in his original creation. He was the anointed cherub that covereth. Cherubim, which is the plural, were the highest ranking creatures in the angelic realm. There were only a few of them created. The cherubim would spread their wings over God's throne. And by the way, cherubim had wings. There's no evidence that angels do, but the cherubim, which is like a form of angels, did have wings, and they would spread their wings over God's throne. Lucifer is called the anointed cherub. It appears that Satan was the highest ranking angelic being. He had complete access to God. He possessed in the angelic realm a God-ordained position of great honor and great privilege. If we're going to understand Satan's plan of evil for today, we've got to go back and we've got to learn some things about Satan's original creation. Ezekiel 28 is a great place to do this. Let me explain the context. Look at verse 1. Ezekiel 28, verse 1. It says, "The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus." Now, who is he addressing? Somebody tell me, who's he addressing? I just read it. Are y'all in Ezekiel 28? Okay, who's he talking to in verse 2? Prince Tyrus. All right, thank you. "Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man, and not God. Though thou set thine heart," notice he set thine heart, this prince of Tyrus, "as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is what, church? Lifted up because of thy riches." So Ezekiel 28 he's addressing the Prince of Tyrus. And in the context here, he's dealing with some of the Gentile nations and the judgment that's going to come upon them, and then ultimately the blessing he's going to bring upon Israel. But it's interesting, this guy called the Prince of Tyrus, he got lifted up with pride because of his intelligence, his wealth, his power, and his authority. He exalted himself as God. Look at verse 6. He says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God." He set his heart as the heart of God. He exalted himself as God. In verses 7 and 8, it pronounces judgment on this man. But who was it, church, that was behind this guy? Who was it that was energizing him in his rebellion against God? Where did that spirit of pride and rebellion and self-exaltation, where did it come from? Look at verses 11 and 12 and notice how the text transitions here. Verse 11, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the..." Notice it doesn't say Prince of Tyrus. What does it say now? King of Tyrus. Now, he transitions here to talking about the King of Tyrus. This, and you're going to see as we go through this, that this has got to be one of the titles of Satan. Job 41:34 tells us that Satan is king over all the children of pride. Very clearly, as you read the text, verses 12 through 19, very clearly, there's not simply a mere man in view here. I mean, we know that from verse 13. Look at verse 13. It says, "Thou hast been." Who? Notice this king of Tyrus that's being addressed here. "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God." Well, that limits us right there, right, to knowing who he's talking to. Because, I mean, there were only a few people in the Garden of Eden, right? You've got God, you've got Adam and Eve, and you've got Satan there in the Garden of Eden. So we know from reading this that there's something here that God is dealing with, God's addressing. God is revealing to us the spirit that is behind the Prince of Tyrus as he exalts himself as God. What is that spirit? Well, it's the spirit of Satan. And this text is one of the few in the Bible that actually give us insight into the origin of Lucifer, details as to his appearance, his position, and his nature before he fell. I want you to look at verse 12. Notice it says, "Thou hast been..." And by the way, verse 12. "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the..." Who's talking here? Let's establish that. This is not what Ezekiel perceived. These are the Lord's words to Satan. "Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." Notice he says, "You seal up the sum." In other words, man, you are the fullness of this thing. When God created Satan, he was unparalleled in wisdom and in beauty. He would be full of wisdom to carry out the position that God gave him over the angelic realm. He was perfect in beauty to adorn and glorify his God who created him. You know, so right away, this helps us to understand that Satan here is, in his original creation, he's not wearing a red suit, carrying a pitchfork with a forked tail. He didn't have pointed ears and a goatee, did he, right? He was created with great beauty. By the way, that was one of the things that led to his demise, was his great beauty. And, you know, do you think that other people have fallen because of that same issue? The downfall of many a person can be because of their beauty. You know, and instead of beauty being a blessing, it can be a curse. You know, many teenagers end up in sin, and they end up in trouble because they're beautiful and they are popular, and it ends up leading to their destruction. You see, Satan was beautiful. He was perfect in beauty. Notice verse 13. thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. Look at this. The sardius, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold. Did you know that those precious stones, those jewels, are only seen two other times in your Bible like that? And that was on the vest of the high priest of Israel, and then over in the New Jerusalem in Revelation 21. Only two other times in your Bible all those jewels are seen on one person or on one thing. And that's the high priest of Israel and in the New Jerusalem that God is going to bring down from heaven one day to this earth that God is creating. So he is covered with every precious stone. The adorning and the glorifying capacity of this special creature named Lucifer, man, we see it just amplified in this verse. Look at the rest of it. Look at the rest of that verse. He says, the workmanship. Notice how he's created. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast what? Created. So God created him, basically, for lack of a better way of putting it, God created him with a built-in orchestra. He did not have to acquire instruments of praise. They were actually built in. He's got strings and percussion. Tabrets there carries the idea of a tambourine. And of course, you know, pipes and, you know, organ, pipe organ and so forth. He is built in. By the way, Satan loves music. It's actually built into his created being, who he was created. He's got music actually built into him. Satan loves music. And by the way, music we know is a gift from God, but do you think that Satan would want to pervert music for his own purposes? Do you think he'd use music to oppose the plan of God? Yes or no? Yes, he would. It's a very powerful influence, music. And I want to admonish you that, you know, it is very important that you glorify God in your music. You see, Satan was created. Lucifer was created with this built-in orchestra. He didn't have to get instruments of praise. He had it built into him to be able to praise God with this built-in pipes and tabrets. Well, God wants you to glorify him and not glorify Satan in your music. And so here we see Satan. He's to provide this adorning environment around God, which would accompany the praise of God by the rest of the angelic realm. Let's move on. Look at verse 14. It says, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so, God said. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Now again, he's called the cherub that covereth. Remember, cherub, what's that all about? As a cherub, he is directly associated with the activities surrounding the throne of God and the magnification of God's holiness. God put him in that position, the Bible says. He put him in a position that exceeded the others. He was the anointed cherub, the anointed cherub that covereth. He had the special privilege of covering the throne of God, adorning God's presence with all of his capacities that were built into him for glorification through the music of his pipes and tabrets. The end of that verse there, when it talks about him walking in the midst of the stones of fire, that may indicate that he even functioned as the one who presented the offering of praise from the angels of God. He represented the other angels before God Almighty. Look at verse 15. He says, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast. And that's a key word right there. What is it? Created. You see, some people kind of get the idea, well, Satan's the opposite of God. No, he is not the opposite of God. He would be the opposite maybe of Michael, the archangel, you know, or something like that. But no, God, you can't even compare him with God, because God is eternal. God is self-existent. God always has been, always will be. God is eternal. Satan, on the other hand, was a created being. There was a day in which he was created. And the Bible says that he was created perfect. That word perfect means without blemish in thy ways. Now, look at this with me and notice what verse 15 says. It says, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. You know what? Hey, church, when we see the word till, do we know we have a problem? Yeah. When you see the word, thou wast perfect in thy ways till. It's as if this train that is to glorify God, all of a sudden this train is... This train comes to a screeching halt. Something horrible happened inside this exceptional creature. Iniquity, verse 15 says, was found where? Look, what are the last two words of verse 15? Where was the iniquity found? In thee. A perverse violation of God's will and God's design filled the heart of this creature. And from this point on, he is described as a sinning creature who set himself up as the determined adversary of God. Look at verse 16. It goes on to say, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore... Here's the therefore right here. I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. So he's going to be, basically, he is thrown out of that position that he'd been given. Verse 17, he lost his position. Verse 17, thine heart was lifted up, because of thy what, church? Beauty. That's what we said earlier, right? Many a person that's happened to, their heart is lifted up because of their beauty. And their beauty can end up leading to their destruction. And it did Satan. Look what it says, verse 17. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. There with that Lucifer, remember it means brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore, by the way, we'll talk about that later, but he goes out and he traffics his plan of evil to the angelic host. We'll talk about that next week. But therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth, in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Aren't you thankful that we read about that in Revelation 20 and amen? That's exactly what's going to happen as we read at the end of the Bible. But let's talk about this just for a moment in our closing minutes here that we have together tonight. Satan's heart was lifted up with what? Somebody tell me. What was his heart lifted up with? Pride. Right? Self-worth. In connection with his beauty and his privileges. Satan saw his beauty, saw his splendor, saw his brightness, saw that when he gave a command, man, the other angelic creatures immediately obeyed. And have you ever heard this expression? The power went to his head. You ever heard that? You ever heard of power going to somebody's head? You know, by the way, that's why the Bible says that a pastor shouldn't be a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. You know, see how it's all tied together? He said, make sure now that your bishop, your pastor, is not a novice. It's not somebody who, you know, new convert, because that position will go to his head and he'll get lifted up with pride like Satan, and the Bible says he'll fall into the condemnation of the devil. You see, this is how Satan works. This is his mode of operation. And this happens today. Hey, do people get prideful? And do people, by the way, what you have here is you have Satan basically thinking in his mind, with him, remember, the iniquity was found in him. Before he ever verbalized it and began to traffic his plan of evil, it happened inside of him. And he's thinking, well, I'm equally worthy, and I'm deserving of praise and worship too. And so this iniquity is found in him. And it's like the Bible says, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, it's what's in his heart that defiles him. You know, and we see that all the way back where sin originated, is that it started in him and worked its way out. And that's the way it works. That's the way sin works. It starts within and works its way out. And so he's thinking, man, I deserve worship. I deserve praise. And Lucifer, this anointed cherub that's covering the throne of God, he desired that which belongs solely to God. He coveted it. He coveted that which was God's. He coveted that position. He coveted the glory that went along with it. He coveted the honor that went along with it. He coveted the power that went along with it. He coveted God's position. Do you think that that's still a battle for people today? I heard that there was someone in the service tonight that was having a problem with covetousness. Is that true? Yeah. And it's a problem, right? Is that we want what somebody else has. We want that position. By the way, it's a very dangerous thing when we begin to get, when we begin to get cynical, or we begin to get this spirit within us of rebellion, this spirit of pride about us, especially as it relates to authority in our lives, and we all have that. We have authority, governmental authority. God's a God of authority. God's a God of structure. And God works through lines of authority. And he's got authority in the government. He's got authority in the home, a line of authority. He's got authority in the local church. And God is a God of structure, a God of authority, whereas Satan is the author of rebellion. Satan thinks, I could do it better. Satan thinks, you know, that I deserve to be the leader. I'm the one that deserves the praise. I'm the one that deserves the position. I'm the one. And so you got Satan. He wants that which is God's. The violence of his heart took aim at the very godness of God, along with the glory which was naturally due to the Creator. Satan looked at the throne of God, and he decided he wanted that position. And he wanted the glory. So he wasn't content with his position. He wanted that one. And as he submitted to his own will, it produced iniquity in him. And the origin, it also produced the origin of evil in God's universe. Look at verse 16. And notice it says there, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Notice what the next expression says there. Say it with me, church. And thou hast sinned. He sinned, listen, he sinned the moment that he coveted God's power, God's glory, and God's position. Lucifer made a personal choice. And when he did, he sinned against God, and evil came into being. He desired what was rightfully God's. Satan lost his anointed. We read it. He lost his anointed and privileged position. But did you know there is no indication in Scripture that he ever regretted? There's no indication that he ever regretted what he did. Never did he confess his sin. Never did he seek mercy from God. Instead, his heart was set like a stone to dedicate himself to his perverted desires. And he became the determined adversary of God. He became a Satan to his creator. Remember, Satan means adversary. He became a Satan. He became an adversary to his creator. That's how he acquired the name Satan. And Ezekiel 28 records for us the day that Lucifer became Satan. It's a sad story. By the way, that story's been repeated throughout history, hasn't it? You see, Satan, as the prince of this world, he wants to have that happen to people over and over and over and over. And he tries to destroy people with pride, with rebellion, by getting lifted up, by worshiping and serving the creature more than the creator. Well, did you know that right after his fall, that and he becomes this determined adversary of God, right after his fall, Satan formulated a plan of evil to oppose God and to acquire the perverted desires of his heart. Satan knows exactly what he wants. He's got a plan in place to get what he wants. He believes he can achieve it. And you see, Satan, as I said last week, he's not working haphazardly, and he's not just, you know, trying to go around and see, you know, where he can cause problems. No, he's got a definite plan of evil. And next week we're going to study what that plan of evil is. But he's got a plan of evil, and he's got a way that he's executing that plan of evil. And Satan, remember, he was created with great wisdom, great beauty. Well, he uses that to his advantage. He's corrupted his wisdom, and he uses it now. He uses his wisdom to oppose God. And now he uses his beauty, instead of to glorify God, he uses his beauty to deceive people. The Bible says, Paul said, he comes as an angel of light. He said, so why do you think it's strange that his ministers would come and that they would appear as light? Because Satan himself is an angel of light. He appears as an angel of light. So Satan has this plan of evil that happened back then, and he is still all about executing it today. You say, Pastor Dan, what's the plan of evil that Satan has? And we're out of time, so next week we're going to look at that. And hey, you know what we're going to look at next week? Listen to this. What's God doing when this happens? Okay, here's the thing. God countered what Satan did here. Next week we're going to see Satan begins to traffic his plan of evil to the angelic host, and then God counters that plan of evil, which we're going to see throughout the Bible. But God then in turn does something in response to Satan's rebellion. And we'll look at that next week too. So hopefully I left you hanging enough to come back next week, all right?